Holy Father, we're praying that you would hear the cry of our heart that we just sung, that you silence all the other voices that are swirling around in our soul, voices of busyness, voices of distraction, voices of shame. And let us hear only your voice. Let us hear the voice of the shepherd, Jesus Christ. Let us see the beauty of your majesty. Let the promises and power and the presence of your holy word speak to our soul. Lord, we don't need a seminar. We don't need a speech. We need the word of God. We need the anointed, powerful, mighty word of God to come to our souls this day. So, Lord, would you do that? As the word is proclaimed, let the Spirit of God come upon us and let us have an encounter with Jesus Christ, the living word. Where there is need for comfort, let the word come as comfort. Where there is need for conviction of sin, let the word come as conviction. Where there is weakness, let there come strength. Where there is fear, let there come peace. Where there is shame, let there come glory. Would you do that, Holy Spirit? Would you let the word of God speak to us this day? I invite you to take just a few seconds in silent prayer and asking the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God to you personally this day, your soul. You want to open up a Bible somehow, some way, on the pew, on your phones, the one you brought, stealing your neighbors, whatever it takes. Colossians. So you go to the New Testament and you flip through all the Gospels and you got Galatians, Ephesians, and in that section there. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 17 is our passage. So here's what's happening. We are continuing in this sermon series that I never know how long these series go. I just listen. The Lord says, okay, that's enough. Or he says, go. So whatever he says, we'll go. And it's called Simplify because it's using a book by Bill Hybels for some of the practical points. I do all my own exegesis. I do all my own study. I just use Hybels for some of the practical points. It's called Simplify as his book. What it's about is how to simplify your life. So 2017, this is the year that God has ordained for God's people to simplify their life around the things of God's kingdom. And so that's the challenge from the God himself. Simplify your life. Simplify your calendar. Simplify your eating. Simplify your energy and time management. Simplify your relations. Simplify your budgeting. This is the year. So today is about relationships, specifically ones that are estranged. So, Colossians 3, here's what it is. It's this portrait. Just think of it. This is a portrait of what godly, joy-filled, Christ-centered relationships can look like. Okay? And so, as we read this, I would like you to ask yourself two questions. How well does this passage describe your relationships? And where do you need the grace of God to flood into some relationship because it doesn't reflect this portrait? All right? The word of God. Setting up this contrast between if the Spirit of God is in you, you have this what the Bible calls a new self. It's your best self, but you also have a sinful side. And so every inside of we have this battle, old self, new self, sinful self, true self. And he's saying, put off the old self, put on the new self. Okay? So let's read. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly, what is sinful in you. And then he gives the list. These are the things you don't want in you or in your relationships. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Evil passion. Not just any kind of passion. Evil passion, evil desire. Passion is a good thing. Evil passion is a bad thing. Covetousness, it's wanting anything that's not meant to be yours, which is idolatry, making it a god. On account of those things, this is the scary stuff, the wrath of God is coming. Now he quickly goes to the good news, is the wrath of God isn't coming on you if you are in Christ, because in those two you once walked, past tense, when you were living in them, past tense. But now, because Christ is in you, you can put them all away. You can put away anger and wrath and malice and slander and obscene talk from your mouth, and you don't need to lie to one another any longer. Instead, because you put off the old self with those kind of practices, and you're putting on, it's this constant present thing of putting on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Whew. It's talking about the body of Christ, and the body of Christ, because this is what it's talking about. Here in the body of Christ, there's no Greek or Jew or circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. In the body of Christ, we're all equal. Men, women, every race, every color, every creed, we're all equal. Put on then, that's the practice of putting off, putting on. Put on then, this is who you are, God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Isn't that good news? You are God's chosen ones and you're holy and beloved. Therefore, you can put on a compassionate heart and kindness and humility and meekness and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against anyone else, look around the room for a minute. If any one of you have a complaint against anyone else, even me, forgive. How do we forgive? A little bit. As Christ has forgiven you. And above all these, put on love. And that's not that mushy, sentimental, Lifetime movie feeling. No. Love is the power of God to do what is best for another person regardless of personal cost. Put on that kind of love because it binds all the stuff together in harmony. Then it moves to how you do it. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called as one body. And be thankful. Here's how you do it. You let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Glory. That's just, yeah. Who doesn't want to be part of a community that looks like this? It's irresistible. Who doesn't want to be in a family that looks like this? Who doesn't want to be in a marriage and a friendship that looks like this? And this is what is offered to us in Christ. So, we're going to use this passage as the backdrop. So just keep that portrait of godly relationships in mind, and then we're going to move into some practical ways to do that. Okay? Before we get to the practical ways, we have to unpack some of this, the way it happens. So the way it happens again is we can let the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit is God, and when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I am damned, I am a sinner, and I can't do anything about it, I can't do enough good to earn my way into your eternal kingdom, I need you to come into my life, forgive all my sins, take up residence inside my heart by the Holy Spirit, making me a born-again Christian. But if you've done that, then God lives in you. Glory! And if God lives in you, you can let the Holy Spirit transform, continually transform all of your relationships and the way that you relate to be more godly and Christ-centered. So this is about what you, pastors aren't supposed to point, but I'm pointing. This is what you need to do to change, not what you think the person next to you needs to do to change. Come on. We are responsible. And what's that mean? Response able. We are able to respond. We are responsible only for our own responses to others, not others' responses. So this passage, it lists some 24 traits of godly relationships. And they all flow out of this one truth again. If, big if, italicized, bold, underlined, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, then you are a radically different person than either you were before that happened or the person who it hasn't happened to yet. Okay? Make sense? And the Bible says you are now dual nature. Old self, new self. Okay? In any given minute, in any given relational moment, you have the power to respond out of your old sinful selfish self or your new glorious true best self in Christ. That's the glory of the gospel. You have a choice. Right? And we all go back and forth. Okay? If you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is not living in you, get some really bad news. You don't have a choice. Your life's going to be full of sorrow, uncomforted, and broken relationships, and bondage to sin. So I'm saying, why do you want to stay in that when there's freedom and joy and over here? Come on over to the light side. Surrender your life to Jesus today. Then you can put to death all this stuff, sexual morality, impurity, and passion, evil desire, and covet. You can put those to death because that's past tense now. And you can put on, you become God's holy one, holy and beloved, and you can put on compassion and patience and humility and meekness and forgiveness. You're forgiven. You have a choice. Have a choice. So here it is. Everything you ever will need to know about how to have godly relationships with your spouse, yes, even with your spouse, with your children, with your friends, with your peers, I can say in like three sentences. You ready? You have a choice. In that moment, no matter how offended, you have a choice. You can respond out of your sinful self. Oh, yeah. Right? Or you can take a deep cleansing prince or princess breath, step into your new self, and forgive. Okay? So when you respond out of your old self, because you will, what do? You don't stay there. You say, oh, man, I'm so sorry. That must have really hurt. That was ugly. That was not the true me doing that. I'm sorry. I operated out of my bad self. Will you forgive me? Of course I'll forgive you. Let me step back into my new self. So every time you mess up, you repent, get back into your new self. Every time somebody else moves towards you out of their old self, you forgive and call them to their new self. There you go. Pretty simple, huh? Now, some of you may be in a situation where you have such a long track record in some relationship of responding out of your sinful self, or the other person has done so, that it feels like that particular relationship is beyond repair, or that your past is beyond forgiveness. Now here's the gospel good news, brothers and sisters. There is no relationship beyond repair because Jesus Christ's grace is stronger than all failure. And there is no sin beyond forgiveness because Jesus Christ's grace is stronger than every sin. There's no such thing as a hopeless relationship. There's no such thing as a hopeless person. Take a moment in prayer. Where do you need a river of Father God's grace just to flood into some place where you need forgiveness, or you need to forgive yourself, or you need to forgive another? So let's just have just take a minute to invite the Spirit of God. Father God, I thank you that no matter what our past, holds. No matter how much failure or fear or sin or shame or rebellion that you just keep loving. You just keep forgiving. Lord, we're just welcoming you into those places where it seems unforgivable. Bring, like you did to this young woman, your words that says, no, woman, you are beautiful. Man, I'm proud of you. You're a godly, strong man, and I'm proud to have you, my son. Will you speak those words? And Lord, where there's relationships right now that are broken somehow, or would you right now just flood the Spirit of God in? Bring all the grace necessary for reconciliation and restoration. Because this is what you love to do. Amen. So moving into some practical applications in this calling to forgive as we are forgiven, to be a minister of reconciliation. Hybel, so he's the pastor of Willow Creek, and we're using some of the material. He has this way of making the hard things simple, right? And so he talks about three categories of offenses, okay? And so in each situation, when you're offended, you take a step back and you say, is this category one? Is this category two? Is this category three? And you respond differently according to the depth and severity of the offense. So let's review them for your note takers. So three categories, three different ways of responding. So, go through life, you're fallen, you have sinful bad side, other people have simple bad side, they clash, offense happens, right? What do you do? Take a step back, take a breath, this is category one, two, or three, respond accordingly. Category one is what? It's just slight, just little slights, right? So, and somehow either you or the offended party takes it way out of proportion. That doesn't happen in our culture these days, does it? Give me a break. It's like all category one offenses. Right? Slight stuff. But the offended part of you, if you lost perspective and you slipped into this poor me victim mentality, and what Heibel said is the best thing to do in that situation is to give yourself or the other person a reality check to put it in perspective. You ask yourself or you invite them to ask, hey, in the big scheme of life, is this really that grievous of an offense? Or is this just what's called a first world problem? Like the material breaking or some luxury denied. Then, if that doesn't work, Heibel's method is that he slips into this sanctified sarcasm. And he just says, really? You feel wronged by that? With all the evil in the world, that's your big cry of injustice? And he said that sometimes just that kind of ribbing, the Holy Spirit can use to like, oh, you're right, that's kind of silly. And get back into objectivity. So author Richard Carlson, this is the good advice. You guys know the phrase, don't sweat the small stuff. Next category, he talked about category two. So these are more complex. These aren't just minor offenses. These are legitimate wounds that need resolution and healing, and they happen. You'll do it to others. Others will do it to you. Just expect it. Then you got to know how to respond. Many... the best teaching on conflict resolution uses the passage that Heibel uses. It's Matthew, if you want to write this down, if you're a note taker. Matthew 18, 15 to 20. It's you, every Christian needs to know it. This is how you handle interpersonal conflict. Five goes, okay? Number one, you go. Jesus says, if your brother or sister has sinned against you, go and point out their fault. Okay? If there's a relational rift, no matter who caused it, it's your responsibility to go. You take the first step, just like God takes the first step towards us. Doesn't matter where it's the other person's problem. Doesn't matter if it's your problem. Doesn't matter who's at fault. As the child or son or daughter of God, you go. So go. Secondly, you go alone. Jesus adds, go in private. Don't call all your friends together and say, do you know what that Gertrude did? I'm going to go talk to her in a couple days, but I want you to know the terrible thing she did. No, go alone. Don't tell anybody else the details of the conflict. Talk to the offender directly. So go alone. Third, you go with that heart attitude of reconciliation. You don't go, I'm going to give it to that person. Not retaliation, not revenge, reconciliation. Jesus says, when you do this, if they listen to you, then you have won them over. So if someone's wounded you, you go alone, you go with the spirit of reconciliation, and then fourthly, you go now. Jesus says in Matthew 5, he gives this little illustration. He says, you're in worship and you're bringing your gifts to the altar. And as you do that, the Spirit of God convicts you that you're harboring unforgiveness or bitterness to someone. Drop your gift, leave the service, and go reconcile. Apparently, Christ finds our worship distasteful when we come to worship with bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts towards anyone. Go alone. Go with the purpose of reconciliation. Go now. Fifth is let it go. So you do all those things. You go alone. You go alone. You go to restore relationships. You go now, but the other person doesn't want to reconcile. So what do you do? Apostle Paul, like Hybels quoted, Romans 12, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So you're responsible to do everything you can to live at peace with everyone. If you can't control the other person's responses, remember? They might choose to play it badly for the rest of their lives. But if you've done your best and the other person won't reconcile, you are clean before God and you are released. Go. Go alone. Go with the spirit of reconciliation. Go now and let it go if you need to. Good stuff, huh? Category 3, this is the hard stuff. This is the sexual abuse, this is the abandonment, this is the betrayal, this is the death of a loved one, this is the hardest, hard stuff of life, and sometimes it just needs comfort, sometimes there's a forgiveness piece if it involves an offense. Okay? You've heard me preach many, many, many times on the why and the how to forgive. If you've forgotten all that, ask me and I'll give you those sermons. In summary, it's this. We forgive the unforgivable no matter how hurtful. And what's our verse say? Why? Because we have been forgiven. And so we realize every second, every day, because the sinfulness is an incurable cancer in my old self that will always be there, and my best act in my new self is still sinful because this cancer creeps over into my best act of worship, my best service to others. Therefore, every second of every day, I stand damned before God, condemned and worthy of hell. And every second of every day, He just keeps pouring grace and covering me in Christ and calling me His beloved son or daughter. Man, and when you live out of that, you can't, it's like this river of grace is that's how we forgive as we are forgiven. If you are holding any unforgiveness or any grudges towards anyone, I can promise you from God's word, two things are true in your life right now. One, you are breaking the heart of Father God. You are grieving the Holy Spirit. And secondly, you are not experiencing the full measure of joy that Christ wants to flood into your life. It's just not worth it. The price of unforgiveness just is not worth it. We can forgive no matter how deep the offense, because we are forgiven. That's the gospel. That's the power of grace and the Holy Spirit in your life, and that's what can happen in all of your relationships if you want it. So let's close. I'm asking you, where do you need to put on Christ? Where do you need a flood of God's grace to be able to fully forgive? Where do you need to repent of old self ways of relating and put on new self ways of relating? Where do you need a river of Christ's grace to roar into your soul so that you can forgive yourself? I invite the worship team to come forward and just play soft music, and let's just take a few minutes and just ask Him, Lord, I need grace. I need more grace to forgive. I need more grace to forgive myself. I need more grace to forgive others. I need more courage to go reconcile.